this is the place you come to always know. You gain that feeling of confidence and complete sense of control that you're going to make a profit on every new deal you do. Taking a valuation first approach is present all the time, regardless if you're doing a short sale, pre-foreclosure. If you're working as an agent with a family trying to list that house at the right price to get the most effective sale, overwhelmingly utilizing and understanding the best acquisition value and after repair or sales value is so very key to every transaction.
You're listening to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with your host, Mark Jackson. You will get straightforward advice for how to make a profit on every new transaction that you do, compounding your net worth and growing your wealth substantially all through real estate. Get more information at appraisersecrets.com.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Appraiser Secrets Presents. Pardon me, I said that wrong. Investor Comps presents Appraiser Secrets. I'm so relaxed this week that even my tongue is getting tied. But I do know this, that this is the place you come to always know. You gain that feeling of confidence and complete sense of control that you're going to make a profit on every new deal you do. Taking a valuation first approach is present all the time, regardless if you're doing a short sale, pre-foreclosure. If you're working as an agent with a family trying to list that house at the right price to get the most effective sale, overwhelmingly utilizing and understanding the best acquisition value and after repair or sales value is so very key to every transaction. Today, we have the very special pleasure of having a man that has basically pointed a finger at people for either his success or her things that he's overcome, or maybe patted himself on the back one time too often and has learned so much from doing it that way as compared to always having an open hand to not only give, but also to receive. Matt Hermes, thank you so very much for taking the time to be with us here, my good GoBro. How are you today?
I'm great. And thank you very much for having me just spend some time with you. I got the email last week and I'm like, holy crap, MJ, I get to talk to him for 30 minutes. So this is cool. So thanks for having me.
Not a challenge. You know, even as we were taking a couple of minutes to get started, I reflected back on your early going after golf and going after it at a high level. And if we weren't careful, you and I said that this podcast would turn into a PGA Tour golf pass type engagement as compared to really serving the needs of those that are listening. I marvel at how that game, even when you're playing it and trying to play at a high level, the relationships, the ties that bind through that game, whether on the course, off the course, you know, having an Arnold Palmer with someone. Before we really get into your bio and the questions, what's probably something that's meant the most to you from the game of golf? And then we'll leave that alone.
Man, that's a great question. What's meant most to me about the game of golf? You know, without a doubt, it's the relationships. You know, for me, I'm ultra competitive. I hate to lose. But at the same time, I know that losing is part of life, right? We don't always win. But with that, you know, the opportunities that we have to meet new people, interact with people, learn more about them, you know, be educated, more educated on different cultures, on different races, nationalities, religions on a golf course is phenomenal, along with the business connections that you have. But, you know, some of my best times playing golf were when I just went out by myself and got paired up with, you know, two or three other guys as that single. You go out and, you know, at the end of it, you're like, man, what great relationships that you have. You may not ever see anybody again, but you've got a story that you can share about somebody that once on the, you know, 12th hole, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's a golf is to me, it's about relationships and it's a great avenue. It really is. Yeah. It's a great sport.
Yeah. Again, I couldn't, as I say, agree more. Some of the experiences I've had just walking onto the first tee to be paired up with other women, men, whatever the case may be, young people, has added so much value to life in general that, again, we couldn't capture it in the time that we're going to spend today. That's a great share. Thanks, Matt. So listen, you've got this story, victim to victorious, that spans from beginning your real estate career back in 2002 to building, being successful, and then basically hitting the lows of lows, only to start climbing back up and then experiencing personal challenges with your amazing children, not one, but two children, and then still having to persevere. There's times now where that victorious is just kind of written all over your face and in the language you use, the words that you use. Let's kind of talk a little bit about what has contributed to both your failures and your success in real estate.
What's contributed? You know, well, let me, I'll start with this, is that everything that I've gone through, both good and bad, I wouldn't trade for anything. You know, we'll kind of talk through some things, but you know, we lost all of our money. We lost our houses, cars. I almost lost my wife. And most of that was due to my alcoholism. When all of this crap was going on, it was right when, you know, the Great Recession was happening, and all the turmoil that was around that, being in real estate, you know, that was a challenge, but I had a huge part in that. I'm not going to, and I won't blame the real estate market for my ills and for my failures. It was all self-induced. When I look back on it though, is that because of the challenges that we went through, because of the hard times, I'm so much better person today than I was, you know, 10, 11, going on 12 years. And I wouldn't trade that. I would not be the husband that I am today. I fail forward all the time with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be the father. I wouldn't be the business owner, business, you know, person that I am if I hadn't gone through all the crap. And it sucked. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, I tell people I wouldn't trade my past on for anything, but I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Buddy, that's a good way to say it. It's like we all know that we're going to fail. We're going to suck at something. There's no doubt about it. But I love the way you share that you wouldn't trade it, but you wouldn't wish on anyone. And I think that's probably the most profound way to share that dynamic. So when you think about just some of the dynamics that come into, you know, the significant loss, and that, you know, again, you say here, you know, you contributed to those dynamics. You've also seen, I'd imagine, through a different lens, agents that haven't been down the path that you've been, brokers that haven't been down the path you've been, and yet, there's times I'm sure you've witnessed and that they failed and haven't necessarily been able to recover. When you think about and you look at that through your experiences and through your lens, why do you see agents fail?
You know, I think that a couple things. Number one is I would say that their expectations of themselves, either they're too high or they're too low. I see a lot of times in agents in my business. So I've been in real estate since 2002. So, you know, I'm old enough to say I've been there, done that for a while. I also have plenty of conversations with brand new agents, and I never want to be that agent that is ever, oh, I've been doing this for 20 years, or I've been doing this and this. I'm always learning every day. Where I see agents fail is that they just give up. They give up one day too early. You know, they're working, they're frustrated. And it goes for anything, but in real estate sales, I'll relate it to real estate. They just give up one day too soon. You know, it's just like if you're talking about religion, you know, you pray and you pray and you pray and you stop praying that one day and the miracle was going to happen the next one. Yep. Business happens. It happens and you got to persevere. There's lots of hard times. Even right now, everybody says it's a great market. Well, it's a great market for some people, right? And the market is always good for somebody. Right now, it's a great real estate market for sellers, but man, it sucks for buyers. You know, 10 years ago when the market was, you know, in the tank, it was great for buyers, but it was terrible for sellers. So I always tell people that agents that I work with or agents that I have the opportunity to either coach, mentor, or just have conversations with is if it's really hard with something, make a switch, make a change. Okay. If you're working with buyers, turn around and go door knock and go, you know, find some seller leads or, you know, do something to be able to, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Different results.
So if you're having a problem, change lanes and do something different. So I think people give up too early. And then number two, they don't have a plan and they don't execute via training, via, you know, coaching, learning to be able to grow themselves in a professional way. You know, to be able to do something that benefits them and they can grow this business. But, you know, what do we need to do to really capture and be a leader in real estate or whatever field that they work in? So I think it's training and I think it's they just give up too quick.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty interesting, too, the way you phrase that dynamic of, yeah, I've been at it 20 years, but I don't want to be the guy that says I've been doing this for 20 years. You're always in that process of learning and discovering more about how to best adjust in a market that might be a buyer's market, that might be a seller's market. So I'm going to ask you to break out your crystal ball as best you possibly can.
So it broke in 2008.
Look, have you tried to put it back together? You know, there's a lot of news that has really begun to shift. You know, real estate markets have been high, prices are going up. And I just read two articles the last 2 days that have to do with forbearance, with the potential foreclosure coming into play that, get this, during June and July, sales have been down. I mean, it's vacation season, you know, but when you look at the dynamics, the things that you've learned to be victorious over time, kind of share your thoughts. You're in a market, you know, Metro Atlanta is a very dynamic market in terms of employers, manufacturing, industry, C-suite individuals, lots of different things there. What are you looking to, or have you already put in place to make sure that your firms and your agents continue to move forward as shift and adjustments may come in the market area, eventually shifting back to a buyer's market in time as compared to still being a seller's market? What's happening in your world there?
So a couple things to touch on. Number one, I personally, again, this is a personal opinion, I don't see the foreclosures, a wave of foreclosures. I think there's the amount of equity that people have in their homes right now is more than they've ever had. We're seeing price appreciation still taking place and the forbearance. And I don't know what the stat is, but there's lending is harder to get. Inventory is low, equity is high. There's plenty of job growth. I just don't see we're going to see a flood of foreclosures. There will be, of course, there will be, but I don't think it's what a lot of people expect it to be. And I've talked to a lot of people about that because early on I was a little concerned. We've got the forbearance. We've got, you know, all this stuff, COVID going on. Are we, you know, about to get, you know, is the stuff going to hit the fan? And I think I've educated myself enough to be confident to say that we're not going to see that. However, what we are seeing is we're starting to see a little flattening of the market. We're starting to see homes stay on the market a little bit longer. Prices are, you know, we're starting to see some price adjustments, price improvements, as we call them, in the Atlanta market. Now, with that being said, we're still in a seller's market. We've got about a month's worth of inventory here, and a balanced market is, you know, 5-6 months. So sellers still are, you know, they're in the driver's seat, and I think we're going to continue to do that. But we meet every day as a team for 15, 20 minutes and just talk about what we're seeing, problems, good things, bad things. And I personally think that this cooling off, if you want to say this is cooling off and it hasn't yet, is actually going to be good. We're going to be able to see, we're starting to see more homes come on the market. We're starting to see some buyers that are being able to get into homes that they haven't been before. You know, we're starting to see some FHA and some VA contracts get accepted where 6 weeks ago, it was just conventional or cash. FHA and VAs didn't seem to have a chance to get anything accepted. So we're starting to see that. And I think that's a good thing.
So, you know, one, thank you for that share. I mean, you shed some different light, even though we know they're in numbers in different articles, whether it's Fortune or Forbes or basically show that there were roughly 7.1 million forbearances. Those have dropped down now to about 1.7 million. I think the real unique part that even I hadn't thought about from a valuation perspective is that equity has grown substantially for those that had a mortgage already in place that was already performing for the last 3, 4, 5, 10 years, whatever the case may be. So the potential for there not to be able to be a refinance if needed is completely different, 180 degrees different from back in the Great Recession. So that in of itself is a significant dynamic shift from what happened before. So thank you for that share. It gives me something else to think about. But I want to talk about this for a few more minutes. I mean, Matt, for a lot of people that have bumped their head and, you know, had to start all over again. I mean, you even mentioned that it took everything you had just to maintain your marriage, which I don't wish that on anybody. How is it that you're able to share your story in this way? I mean, again, it's your soft underbelly. I mean, no one wants to expose those type of dynamics. Why, when you look back on your past, are you willing or do you share your story with others?
So, well, first and foremost is that the biggest thing for me to keep me sober is to share my story.
Okay.
Right? Because if you and I get together at a GoBundance event, right? And I'm cracking open a Bud Light, you're going to look at me and like, Matt, what the hell are you doing?
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely.
So that helps me. And I've been sober 11 years, going on 12 years. It is who I am. It is part of who I am. And it's part of my story. So okay. I'm okay. I'm fine sharing it. I don't care who knows that I'm an alcoholic. If I lose business because of it, great. If I gain business because of it, who cares? But it's who I am. What I can tell you is that very early on in this process, when I started getting my life back together, it was the way to build the business and build my life back was to consistently give and give and give. And when you give, things start to happen. I didn't have any money when I started rebuilding my business. Zero.
Okay.
So I just started by giving back. It was in any ways that I could. It was volunteering. It was donating. It was whatever. And then it was just built. It was a building process. So I share my story to help others because there's probably, I almost guarantee you, there's someone on this that's listening to this that is going through some type of the same issue that I've dealt with. And man, reach out to me and I'm happy to chat, you know, but we all, you know, I like to relate it to this is if there was 10 guys or 10 women or, you know, men and women around a table, right? And we got a sheet of paper and you got to write down all your problems on a sheet of paper. and you slid them into the middle of the table. And everybody got to read everybody else's challenges. They probably pull their piece of paper back out and say, man, I'll keep mine. I don't want yours, or I don't want yours.
Right. Yep.
So it's, I share because I want to, I share because it's healthy for me. And it, I share because there's somebody else out there that needs to hear that if I can do this, if I can overcome and overcome the challenges financially, emotionally, mentally, that anybody can. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I am not the atypical real estate agent. I am a huge introvert. Being on here is challenging. I'm one of those guys, when I walk into a crowded room, I pretend that I'm on my phone looking down so I don't have to look around and see who's looking at me.
So
I do it for a number of reasons. I do it because it keeps me healthy. It can potentially help someone else and save their life. Because I was going to drive off a bridge. I was going to drive off a bridge and dunk my truck into the water and not leave a suicide note. And my wife was going to be well taken care of, and she didn't have to deal with my shit. So I'm glad I didn't.
Well, again, on that note, we are absolutely glad you didn't, because your story with victim to victorious.
It's victim to victorious.
Victim to victorious. There you go. It's so very, very special. Man, we have to go deeper. I hope you will accept my invitation to come back and do this again.
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely.
There we go.
You name the date and the time, I'll be there.
Perfect. Perfect. Everybody, definitely reach out, engage with Matt. We'll have his agent information as well as his contact information in the notes here for this podcast. Matt, again, I can't thank you enough for saying yes, for sharing so openly and transparently. There are any number of significant nuggets to be had here, even if it's that somebody else's problems certainly will pale in comparison, and you just want to deal with your own stuff than somebody else's in a lot of situations. So, man, again, thank you so much. Everybody, certainly subscribe to the Investor Comps Presents Appraiser Secrets podcast. Hit that notification button so you'll get updated on all of our new podcasts that come out. And remember, you always want to be in that space where you have that feeling of confidence and complete sense of control that you're going to make a profit on every new deal that you do. I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to serve. Continue blessings and joy, and we'll see you next time. Thanks again, Matt.
Thank you.
You've been listening to another episode of the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with Mark Jackson, the place to be to create your freedom lifestyle with more time off, security, and peace of mind. Find out more at appraisersecrets.com.